This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A growing number of Americans are choosing to have children later in life, taking the plunge into parenthood in their late 30s, 40s, or 50s. We're going to talk about why people are making that choice and what it means for older moms, dads, and their children. Joining me now are University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor of Sociology, Jessica Calarco. Welcome back, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Cincinnati Enquirer food and dining writer and self-proclaimed old dad, Keith Pandolfi. Thanks so much for being here, Keith.
Great to be here.
Great to have you. Jessica, what does the data tell us? How many women and men are waiting until later in life to become parents?
Sure. So the average age right now of first parenthood for women is about 27 years, and for men, it's about 31. And that's an increase over time in the sense that, we've seen a sort of ramping up not only of the ages at which people are having children, but also a decrease in the number of kids that couples are having or that people are having over their lifetimes as well.
What are some of the factors that explain those decisions, Jessica?
Sure. So one of the key factors here is a decrease in teen pregnancy. We've been very effective at reducing teen pregnancy rates, over the last 20 years, especially. But on top of that, and at the same time, we are still seeing decreases in family size. In 1980, for example, about 55% of mothers had three or more children by the time they reached their mid-40s, whereas by 2022, it was only about 31% of mothers had three or more. And there were growing numbers that had only one child or no child. As well. And certainly, those numbers tell part of the story, but we have to think about why. Where are these differences coming from? And really, there's a couple of factors. One big factor is contraception, which makes it easier for people to make choices about how many kids to have and when to have them. Another factor is that there's an increasing push for young people to go to college and establish themselves career-wise before they have children. And a third particularly important factor here is the costs of raising children, which have gotten substantially higher in recent decades, increasing at rates that far surpass inflation and far surpass even rates of increases in prices for things like groceries or housing. Since 1990, the cost of childcare has increased by 220%. And certainly infant care is one of the key factors here. And that's sort of complicating things for families on top of the lack of policy support that we provide, a lack of paid family leave, a lack of universal affordable childcare that people in many other places are able to take for granted. Complicates that decision for many families, leading them to wait longer to save up those resources to be able to afford the kind of family life that they want.
Keith, you have written beautifully about being an older dad. What went into your decision to wait?
Well, first of all, I always wanted to have kids. Starting in my 20s, I just kind of assumed that I would have them at some point.
It happens.
It happens. I ended up kind of following a strange career path that really didn't lend itself to having children. I moved to New Orleans. I moved to New York. I was constantly trying to find the right job for me as a writer. You might have heard writers don't make that much money.
I have heard that.
It's a problem. But I always wanted to have kids. But it took till I had my daughter when I was 45 years old, and it was only at that point where I felt I had the financial means to do that. And I was living in New York, which cost of living is crazy there. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends there also waited until their 30s and 40s to have children.
Yeah. Keith, there are pros and cons that come with every decision all of us make. What are some of the benefits that you see to being an older dad, to waiting till you were 45 to have your daughter?
Well, first, I have reached the point in my career that I'm happy where I am right now, and my wife feels the same way. We're not worrying all the time about our next promotion or our next move. We're pretty settled. I think that I have a very laid-back way of parenting. I think if I had had children in my, say, 20s or 30s, I would be stressed out about a lot of things that I'm not stressed out about. One thing my wife brought up, which I thought was really interesting when we were talking about me coming on the show, was that we have this attitude that things will just sort of work themselves out for our daughter. We're not worried about that she gets into the best school and has a perfect grade point average and goes to an Ivy League college, because we've lived long enough to know that life gives you a lot of surprises. There are a lot of detours you take, but in the end, it all kind of works itself out. So I think we're much more comfortable as parents now than we may have been when we were younger.
Yeah. What are some of the downsides?
My knees, for one. The other day we were, my daughter and I were playing, we were wrestling with our feet on the sofa. And the next day I literally couldn't get out of bed because had hurt my foot somehow. I have age-related, I have arthritis, I have some, but I'm going to say this, I was never a picture of health, even in my 20s. I wasn't always like the most active person or anything like that, but I do feel it sometimes. I wish I could play a little bit more with her than I do, but yeah, that is a downside.
Yeah. We're talking about delaying parenthood until later in life. Did you wait until you were older to have children? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jessica, what have you heard in your research about kind of the pros and cons of waiting to become a parent?
Sure. So I mean, I think in terms of the families that are waiting until later, they often are able to have the resources to provide them that sense of security, that they're able to get more established in their careers, to be more settled location-wise, being talked about before. And that does allow for a stronger sense of security, both for parents and for children. At the same time, I think we have to think about what did we do to push for the kind of reduction that we've seen in terms of teen parenthood in the U.S. One of the things that we did in that process was to effectively vilify teen moms and particularly low-income single mothers who weren't married. There was a lot of rhetoric in the 1990s around welfare that helped to kind of create a sort of stigma around early parenthood in ways that have affected our decisions about welfare. Many states in the U.S. have really low benefit amounts for things like welfare that disproportionately and negatively impact low-income women, especially teen moms and other young moms in the U.S. And what that does then is it makes life even harder for couples or for people who do have children earlier in life. And so it kind of creates a deeper inequality among families on the basis of when they have children because of how we've sort of stigmatized early parenthood and how we've underinvested in the kinds of supports that people often need if they have children early in life in the process.
Interesting. There are also, but there are some risk factors, some medical risk factors that can come into play for older moms, for children of older parents. How challenging can it be? I'll ask both of you this, but I'll start with you, Jessica. How challenging can it be for older parents to kind of consider all that when it comes to their personal planning?
Sure. I mean, I think certainly new technologies, things like IVF, have made older parenthood possible for families in a way that was not always the case. Though certainly the variations in the level of financial cost associated with those decisions is substantial across states as well. There are some places like Illinois that require health insurance providers to cover fertility-related treatments, and other states nearby like Indiana that don't include those kinds of benefits in their coverage. And so that can create substantial costs for families who want to be able to wait or to have that kind of flexibility. So there's both the medical side of things and also the cost side of things that come with, possibly delaying childbearing, given the kinds of fertility risks involved. And certainly, I think there's some evidence in terms of the physical risk of complications, both for pregnant people and potentially for children in terms of later pregnancy or later birth. But those are, I think we're still understanding the consequences of much later births because, women have been having children in their 40s for a very long time. They often just had many more children before they got to that point. And so it's not that, this is a new phenomenon per se, but it's more that it's just becoming much more common than it once was.
Yeah. What do you think, Keith?
Well, it was a big concern. My wife was 39 when our daughter was born. I forget what age, I think around 37, it's called a geriatric pregnancy, which she did not like that one bit.
No, don't blame her.
We did have fertility issues. It took a while for us to conceive, and that costs money. Luckily, we were in a position where, we were able to tackle that, but it does make it a lot harder. A lot of my friends in New York and here too face the same problems. And kind of if you decide to have children in your 30s and 40s, you kind of expect that might be a problem, and you kind of have to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways older mothers, Jessica, are perceived as kind of outside the norm? And they're becoming less outside the norm, certainly, as people delay parenthood. But what are some of the perceptions that still maybe float around out there?
I mean, I think this is something that varies substantially, like community to community, in terms of how these norms have shifted, that we have seen older motherhood becoming, you know, much more normative, particularly in relatively affluent communities, relatively highly educated communities, disproportionately white communities in the US. So in those kinds of places, I think we're seeing a growing acceptance of later motherhood. And if anything, you know, the stigma tends to flip the other way, the sort of questioning of having children too early, as opposed to the other way around. Though certainly mothers who wait until earlier, I think, you know, the medical stigmatization, this idea of geriatric pregnancy, is often where women are feeling, you know, the stigma the most strongly, in terms of the added scrutiny that's put around their decision to have children later, and the added types of tests and risks that they're kind of exposed to and forced to grapple with in that process. So certainly this is, you know, becoming more normative in some communities, but can still come with, you know, feelings of stress and feelings of shame or feelings of stigma as well.
Keith, what are the perceptions you encounter as an older dad?
First of all, I think it's funny when I'm talking to people and I tell them that I have a daughter, and they all assume that she's probably in high school or college, and then I say she's 9 years old, and I get kind of a, oh, I see. I wouldn't say that there's a stigma, especially with fathers, but I do feel like we faced several people were sort of surprised that we decided to have kids at an older age, I worried about it a lot. I think that while we were trying to have kids, I would do things like Google celebrities who had children at 45, like, you know, men. And I would try to find examples of people who had done it to make myself feel better about doing it. Now that I am the older father, I have so many people reaching out to me. Sometimes their wives will direct me, them toward me to ask to let, for, so I can reassure them that it's okay. Mm-hmm. So there is sort of a stigma about it. I think that, you know, even for men, you know, you want to have kids, but you want to be healthy enough and active enough to be able to give them to play with them, first of all, to, you know, just be the fun dad, I guess. Yeah.
You know. Did you have people trying to do that math with you? Well, you know, how old will you be when so-and-so graduates from high school and college and all that kind of stuff, which I think is such an unfair kind of math game to play.
Yeah. There's an episode of 30 Rock which is one of my favorite shows, where Jack Donaghy, I think he's 50 when he has a kid on the show. And there's a scene where he's just doing the math, like, good God, I'll be almost 70 when, you know, my child graduates from high school. And I do that all the time. I think that everybody does that. And anybody who wants to have kids that is waiting, you're constantly doing the math about high school graduation and college graduation, things like that.
Yeah. But in what ways, Keith, you've talked about this a little bit, but I want to talk about some ways being an older parent can be so joyful. And you wrote about that so beautifully in a column for The Inquirer. I wonder if you can read a little bit about that, which I know I showed you this passage and you said, oh, this is about physical limitations. And I said, no, it's about joy. So
both, really.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Read that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is from an article that I wrote for The Inquirer about 2 years ago, a Father's Day piece I did. It's true that I do have some physical limitations in my 50s, though not nearly as serious as Mr. Chaplin's, who had children at 72.
Yeah.
I can play rough for no more than 5 minutes without needing a timeout, and piggyback rides are a non-starter. One time, as we walked along the Ohio River, I tried to convince Sylvia, that's my daughter, how fun it would be to roll down one of the dirt levees. When she refused, I did it myself to show her, cracking two of my ribs and making a couple of passersby fear my fall was the result of a cardiac event. While Sylvia didn't follow suit and roll down the levee herself, she did laugh hysterically at my foolishness. And honestly, making her laugh is the best part of being a father.
I love that. I love that. Making kids laugh. Jessica, what do you hear from people? Keith was talking before about how, as an older dad, his wife, as a mom who's a little bit older, they're not as stressed out about, did our kid get a perfect SAT or ACT score? Will she go to the best, very best colleges? All that kind of stuff. Can being an older parent maybe be a little less stressful because of the life experience you bring to the role?
Yeah, I think it's both the life experience that you bring to the role and also the level of stability and security that often comes with having children later in life, in the sense that if you are in a more stable financial position yourself, then you might not have to, you know, you might be better able to help your child to, say, put a down payment on a house or pay for college, or, you know, get to, you know, help them have children of their own if they need help with fertility costs, for example, down the line, if you're in a more stable position when you have kids. And so I think both the sort of life experience and certainly the sort of financial stability or financial security that often is associated with later parenthood, that those two things together can make older parenthood, you know, a little bit less anxiety producing per se than having kids earlier, because of the sort of higher levels of uncertainty that can come with your, you know, having kids when you're at a more risky place in your own life financially as well.
Does that uncertainty, Jessica, just to the folks that you've talked to for your research, does that ever come into kind of personal decision making too? I mean, I guess I'm sure it depends on the people, on the parents, on the relationship. But I think sometimes as a young new mom, I was thinking, am I doing it wrong? Am I messing up my kid? Are they eating too much? Are they eating not enough? Do you find less of that kind of comparing if you're doing it wrong? I don't know what you've heard from people on those fronts.
I mean, certainly, I think many of the moms that my team and I have talked to express those kinds of fears about, am I doing it wrong, whether they're on their first kid or their fourth kid, whether they're older, whether they're younger. That's, you know, part of our culture of parenting today is very much that kind of anxiety and comparative culture. But at the same time, I think there is something to mothers who are kind of earlier in life or who have fewer resources often do have more stress because they have fewer options available to them. And the risks are higher with the kinds of choices that they ultimately make in the process too. And so I think that can certainly be a place where, you know, I talked to one couple, for example, who was deciding whether to have a second kid or not. And they had had kids, they waited until their sort of mid-30s to start having children. And they still had over $300,000 in student loan debt to pay off and also a mortgage on a house. And they just felt like, we're not in a life place right now, or even if we want to have a second kid, you know, that we could potentially do so. But they also knew that there were risks of waiting later in terms of adding fertility costs on top of the debt that they already had.
Hmm. Keith, are you a person who stresses or doesn't stress? And do you think you would have been kind of comparing yourself to the other dads more if you were in your 20s or 30s than maybe you do now?
Yeah, I mean, I like I said before, I think my wife and I are both pretty laid back parents. We are not. I think if we were in our 20s and 30s, we would have been more concerned about which she was getting into the best school, getting all these, going to an Ivy League school, like I said. But I feel like we care very much. I think our main focus is to make sure she has a great childhood. That's all I'm worried about. I feel like as long as you have the first 9-10 years of your life, you feel loved, secure, cared for, then that gives you a great foundation moving on. And that's really what we're focused on. I don't think we think much about what's going to happen, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Right now, we're just focused on that. We also, you know, one of the drawbacks of having children later is, you know, my parent, luckily Sylvia does have 3 grandparents that are still around. And in fact, she just went to grandparents camp with Amy's mother, a sleepover camp for 3 nights. But I don't have a lot of my extended family that have passed away. I worry about that. But, you know, fortunately for us, we live in a neighborhood that is a real community where she knows pretty much everybody on the street, the adults and the kids. So, you know, it's kind of that it takes a village mentality. It works out really well for us. Worked out really well for us.
That's great. Jessica, what are some of the factors both men and women should consider when they're deciding to have children later in life? You talked about the financial aspects. Are there other things that you would tell people, hey, make sure you give these things some thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a place where we can, you know, families should be thinking about whether they have kids early in life or later in life, what are the kinds of supports that can help families to better make those decisions regardless of when they happen to have children or decide to? And that's a place where, you know, taking time to advocate for paid family leave, for things like universal affordable childcare, can make those decisions easier, you know, for families like the one I was talking about who, you know, have to think about, can we afford both childcare and payments on our student loans? If we take those costs off the table, it makes those decisions, and especially especially things like universal health care, can also take fertility costs potentially off the table in ways that just make those decisions easier and allow families to focus on what's best for them and their circumstances and their own preferences, as opposed to having to worry about the costs that are involved.
Keith, you mentioned that you were Googling male celebrities when you were looking to have kids, thinking who else did this when they were 45. And now you mentioned people ask you, what's the advice that you give to people who come and say, what about having kids a little later in life?
I generally have I've had a great experience with it. So I tell them that, yes, it's very doable. Again, the most of the people I'm talking to are the financially stable. They have enough money for childcare. They are at a point in their lives where, yes, they can do this without, a big financial burden. I understand, I feel like a big concern is like, what if I die young? What if something happens to me? What if I get sick? But as we all know, that can happen at any age. That's one thing I say is, I know we all start worrying about our mortality once we turn 50 or so.
Yeah.
But anything can happen. You never know what's going to happen. But I do feel like being an older parent, it's kind of like being a father and a grandfather at the same time. I tell Sylvia sometimes, like, there's some days I'm like, I'm in dad mode, and other days where I'm in granddad mode.
Well, I've been talking with University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor of Sociology Jessica Calarco and Cincinnati Inquirer Food and Dining writer Keith Pandolfi. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.